G'day guys, welcome back to the Inner City Hermit podcast. If you're liking the content, make sure you go subscribe on YouTube or go subscribe on Spotify and iTunes or iPodcast. I don't even know what it's called, Inner City Hermit podcast, or follow the podcast on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, at Inner City Hermit. Keep up to date. My guest today is Maddie Jeffries. Now, Maddie is a healthcare worker. Now, she just returned home from London. So she is currently in her 14-day isolation. She's locked up in a hotel in Brisbane City. And I just thought the idea around this podcast was to talk about sort of her experience traveling from the airport to the lockdown to and how isolation's working for her. And also, we had a really good chat about how the healthcare system was working in London, because she was actually working in the front line of everything over in the hospitals in London. So for me personally, it was a pretty eye-opening podcast, and it was really interesting talking to her. So super happy with this one. Maddie's a legend, and I'm really grateful that she did this. So yeah, without further ado, let's get this shit going. G'day guys, welcome back to the Inner City Hermit podcast. I have a very special guest today, a very special guest. You would have heard the intro to her, and she's had a wicked ride for the last week. I'm sitting down with my good friend, Maddie Jeffries. What's up, Mads?
How you going, Mattson? I'm good. Oh, I'm good. I'm living probably, the dream.
I was going to say, I'm probably doing a little bit better than you, because you are one of the quarantine prisoners. You're one of the ones that's in full-on ISO. How's that traveling?
Yeah. No, it's going good. I think I'm getting used to life in isolation. Yeah, very interesting. I'm getting a little bit stir crazy, but it's been a good day today, so I can't be too mad. There's worse places to be in the world, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. You know, you could be in North Korea where they're just shooting everyone, so that's a plus.
Exactly. We're looking at the positives. Yeah,
exactly. So what for you, now you're obviously the whole of, you know, Australia, we're kind of like isolating in ourselves, but we can go outside, but you are actually one of the people who have just come in from overseas. So like, talk us, you were living in England, weren't you, before this? Like, you just moved there?
Yeah, so I moved over to London at the end of last year, just to do the whole work and travel, live the dream.
Ooh, white girl European summer.
I know. So I moved over in the midst of winter with the promise to work and save some pounds and money. And then when Euro summer rolls around, which is meant to be just around the corner, then piss off to Europe and do like 3 or 4 months of solid travel and then come back to London again. But you know, plans have obviously changed.
Yeah, so like drastically changed.
Now I'm back here. So in living it up in ScoMo's quarantine.
ScoMo's prison. Provided. The five-star luxury prison. So when you, like, what was kind of the thing that made you sort of make the decision? Because I know you were definitely one of the people that Kira and I were sort of talking to that's like, what do I do? Should I stay? Should I go? I don't know. What sort of made you make the decision to sort of come home? Or just, I'm assuming you want to definitely go back, but just to come home till this sort of shit show blows over, what was kind of the deciding factor for you?
Yeah, so for me, it's like, it's obviously different for everyone, but I was working over in London in one of the major hospitals there. And I was working as a physio, and sort of for the last over a month up until now, I was working sort of right in the thick of it with the coronavirus. So my ward was one of the first wards that sort of switched into treating coronavirus patients from our usual lot. So I'd sort of been dealing with it for a while and then had never really thought about coming home, even when people over there started losing their jobs. Like, I had a few mates lost their jobs. I think Australia changed their travel advice, and in like the matter of a few days, I think there was a huge clear out. And through all of that, I was pretty happy to stay put in London. It didn't really faze me. I was seeing coronavirus patients at work, like, you know, was right in the thick of it, you know, still could go out and do everything, so I wasn't too bothered. But then I myself got sick. I think I never got tested because at the time they didn't test healthcare workers. So I got like the dry cough, the fevers, and the body aches and everything like that. And then did 7 days of strict quarantine at my place in London, and then went back to work. And then when I came back to work, it was just a full blown different situation. There was like 6 or 7 wards in the hospital, all full of coronavirus patients. London had gone into sort of strict isolation like we have here. So you couldn't go out. I couldn't see any of my friends. All of my family's back here in Australia. And then work had really escalated. There wasn't enough like PPE going around and things like that. And I started to feel a bit extremely stressed, really, just with the whole situation.
PPE is like the safety stuff, like the gloves, the is that PPE? Is that
So it's essentially like the face masks, the gowns, the gloves, so, and face shields. So we had heaps of surgical masks, which are your stock standard ones you can buy from the store, but they don't really do anything in terms of protecting you from coronavirus. It was that we're running out of the ones where like fitted to our face that stop us inhaling the droplets that contain coronavirus. So they sort of started running out of them. So I was having people cough on me and everything like that, and just felt horribly stressed. And then sort of made the call that there wasn't enough literature or evidence to say that I wasn't going to get really sick. I didn't know whether or not I'd had coronavirus. It sounded like it, but I didn't know. And there were starting to be healthcare workers dying and stuff like that. So I was just then weighing up that decision of like, we don't know, there's so much unknowns, right? Like, how long is this going to go on for? What's the risk for me treating patients like day in, day out without adequate protection? And then what if was something going to happen to my family back here? And then will they change, you know, being able to get back to Australia? So I was like, let's just get back to Oz. If I get sick, at least I get sick in Australia. If I don't, then at least I'm close to family and at least I can work here. Hopefully we don't run out of PPE and end up in that same situation. So hopefully I can work with a little bit more protection, with sick leave, with, you know, cover from my workplace and stuff as well. So made the decision to come back, which was a big relief, but very sad nonetheless. But you weren't really living your best London life at the moment anyway. I couldn't see any mates. Had one housemate who I could see and my work colleagues, and that was pretty much it. So I think I'm very relieved to be back.
Yeah, man, it's really crazy. Like, I know, you know, what you and I and Kia, because we've obviously been keeping you company via House Party, like we joke about it and all that sort of stuff, but when you peel back all that sort of like the humor aspect, it's actually pretty fucked. Like it to come from someone like you who is works, like, you know, I get the aspect of it through Kia, who obviously works in like healthcare, but she's not like, how you say, like on the front line. You know, to hear it from somebody who literally was there, and like you were even saying, you know, you knew of like we had this conversation, I think a couple of days ago, like you literally knew of people, I don't know whether you had like, you knew them personally, but you literally were hearing stories of like healthcare workers, like literally fucking dying. And they weren't like, from what I gather, they weren't exactly like old healthcare workers. Like they were pretty, they're still pretty like youngish, hey?
Yeah, I think like it's all sort of hearsay a little bit, but like they had spoken about, I think, 2 young nurses who were at least, I think, in their 30s, maybe. Don't quote me. Who both unfortunately passed away, and maybe an ENT, but it's all sort of who was a bit older, but like no underlying medical conditions, but had a lot of exposure. And that's sort of the thing we don't know, is like the ongoing effect. Like physically, for starters, of like healthcare workers looking after these patients if they're not well protected with the PPE, and then also mentally, like there was a lot of stories going around of just people just not coping. And I think that's why I came back. I was like, I'm happy to treat these people, there's nothing wrong with that in the right circumstances, but like you've got to have your support. So yeah, it was getting pretty hectic over there, man. So it's good to be back.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I kind of haven't really heard you talk about it like in that way. And I guess in a sense, hearing that, like, you know, 2 weeks sitting in a fairly bougie hotel, getting meals brung to your door every day isn't really like a bad thing when you compare it to that. Like, holy fuck, man, that's
And I definitely, like, it was I had to try and think of it all, because, like, obviously coming back to quarantine, like, I can't see anyone for 2 weeks, and then I don't know that I'll go and see, like, family, friends, etc. anyway. So, like, yeah, there's a lot to think about. It was pretty hectic, but good to be back. Yeah. It's totally amazing.
Yeah, man. I'm personally glad that you came home. I'm glad you made that decision. Kia and I sort of had a couple conversations about it, and we're like, oh man, I really hope Mads comes home. Even, like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you spoke about how you're pretty set on just kind of hanging there and being like, you know, I'll still get my European summer, but I guess that's kind of not going anywhere. Like, you know, we're still young. You can still go back there. It's just, I feel like, you know, I don't really have any perspective really, because I haven't gone anywhere or anything like that, as in around this time. But it feels a lot better, I guess, peace of mind wise, that you are kind of experiencing it when you're at home and you've got family and friends and all that sort of stuff around.
I think you need to have everyone close, and like all my UK mates, like, obviously had their families, and some of them were going to be moving, like, back and closer to their families, even just with it being within the UK. And then, like, the Aussie mates, like, good on them for staying. Like, they all had, like, big support networks. So they lived in those share houses with, like, five or six others. They were all sort of in it together. Some had family there. And everyone's, like, quite different, I think, how they, like, had to go about it. But, yeah, but coming back here, it's really not too bad. I'm going a little bit nuts. Got to stretch the legs, though. So
yeah, so you got let out of your cage today? How was that?
So I missed. Yeah, that was pretty fun. It was sort of funny. That's because I made the phone. So you call down to reception. You just say, "Hey guys, can you pop me on the list to go outside?" And they were like, "Yep, we'll put you on the list." And they don't tell you when. And then I got a knock at the door, and I thought it was lunchtime because we sort of get food at the same time every day. And I poke my head out, and I was just in my fucking dacks, and surely enough, the police officer coming to take me for a walk. So then I was like, oh shit, sorry mate. Pop some pants on, put my mask on. They didn't ask me to put a mask on, but I just, like,
yeah, just in case.
Mum gave me one, so I just popped it on, and especially to protect them, they don't need to catch anything from me. And then out I went with, I think, two police officers took me down, and there was about four or five of them. We went down to the pool area. The smokers could have a smoke. And then I just walked around, which was nice. It's not the nicest day, but it was nice just to get out.
Yeah, out of all the days you got to come outside, it's probably the shittest day we've had in a while.
So fingers crossed it gets a bit better.
Yeah, okay, so, like, a question I had, because I guess there's some uncertainty around, you know, what it's actually like. So talk us through, you got off the plane, and of course, you know, you would have to obviously go through immigration and all that stuff, but from that moment, what was sort of the security, the police, how was that all? Was that all set up pretty, you know, in comparison to just normal travel, what was it kind of like for those people coming in overseas, including yourself? What was it like?
Yeah, it was really eerie, and it was interesting to see, like, the differences between, like, London and then where I stopped for an hour or so, which was Doha in Qatar, and then coming back to Brisbane Airport, because they're obviously, like, three different countries, three very different situations. But yeah, London was really chill. Like, I think the air company, like, staff, they had sort of just surgical masks on, and they were interacting with you quite normally, but it was dead quiet at Heathrow Airport. Everything was shut, which was really weird. And then boarding the plane, like, we did it all, like, keeping 2 meters apart, and, like, minimal contact with staff, and then, like, loading them on a few at a time. And then they, like, sort of kept us spread out, but in one area of the plane, and then we could, like, go wherever once we took off. And then Doha Airport was completely dead, like, it's huge. But the staff didn't really have masks on or anything, which was a bit weird. And then when we got to Brisbane, you could totally tell you landed down in bougie Australia, because like you're greeted by a bloke in full like PPE get up, and you just get handed some information as soon as you sort of walk out into the terminal, but given like 5 pieces of paper with like what's coronavirus, what's going on, you know, what's our expectations and everything, and some papers to fill out. So we had to fill out, I think, like two or three forms, just about that we agree to self-quarantine in the hotel, who we are, where we've been, do we have any symptoms, things like that. And then your normal like border security customs card, like are you bringing any plants and stuff in. And then you just go through the e-passport gates like you usually would, but like it's super spread out, like everything's really spread out and there's not many people around. And then from there, you'd usually go straight into baggage claim, I think, but we had like another area that sort of branched off with like spots on the ground for us to stand, and we had a nurse come and take the temperature of everyone. Wow. And they gave us masks to put on. So we all had our temperature taken, which was sort of nice peace of mind, because I think in that situation, I was like, the nurse came up to me, she's like, you look flushed. And I was like, oh shit. I was like, don't arrest me, don't lock me away. I was like, fine.
Yeah. And I guess too, you're coming off a massive flight. Like I know I come off like 9-hour flights, and I'm sure it was probably longer than 9 hours, and I feel like fucking shit. And like,
yeah.
So you're kind of torn between, oh fuck, do I have any sort of symptoms, or fuck, do like, is this just travel, or you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. You're probably stressed out of your fucking mind just in that situation.
Yeah. I was sweating bullets too, because I'd been in the UK, and like, yeah, like you said, I think it was 7 hours London to Doha, and then an hour stopover, and then a 14-hour flight. Yeah, and on the 14-hour flight, I'm vegan, as you know. I got food on the first flight, but not the second. So I was like, probably had like a blood sugar of next to nothing, like about ready to pass out anyway, because I hadn't eaten anything but like a few fruit salads for 14 hours. And I'd had a huge night before I left, like a few farewell beers.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh man. And then, yeah, so they take your temperature. And then she didn't really ask me anything else. She asked a few people, but they might have had a temperature, like, do you have a cough? Do you have a dry cough? You know, and everything like that. But she didn't ask me anything. And then you go and you have a little, you go up to a desk and have a chat to the police. And essentially they tell you that it's like a federal offence if you attempt to leave quarantine over the next 2 weeks. No one can come and see you. You have to do it. You don't have a choice, and they tell you where you're staying, and you say yep, cool, and they take all your paperwork, and then after that I went up and I asked the nurse, I was like, just so you know, I'm not too sure like if I need to do anything different, like I've literally been around people with coronavirus for the past month, like right up in their grill, like I don't have any symptoms, do I need to do anything? And she was like, nah, unless you start coughing or get a fever, we won't make you do anything. So that was good. Went through customs, got my bags, and then you wait some more, and then the police sort of tell you you're going to hop on the bus. So you walk out Brisbane Airport, and there's like the normal terminal bit where, you know, you usually get picked up, except it's like full of army guys, which is pretty unreal, and police officers. And then the army guys load your stuff onto a bus, and the bus is all like spread out. Like they've got reserved seats so that people, like not too many people can get on. And then, yeah, they took us to where I am now in the West End, Brisbane. And then we all hop off in a socially distant fashion, get our bags. And then they gave me my hotel key and told me to be in a nice hotel room up here. It was pretty funny, like the police officer who came and told us what was going to happen on the bus, he was like, you can get food, you can get grog, you can get Uber Eats. He's like, no one can come and see you, but you go into the West End Brisbane, there's worse places to be in the world.
Yeah.
Some good views if you're lucky. So he was an absolute legend. And then, yeah, and then came in here. We had a bit of a rocky first night because I hadn't eaten. I had 2 Uber Eats orders cancel on me, and they delivered me food that wasn't vegan, so I couldn't even eat it. So we did a prolonged fast that day, Matson, and I woke up feeling hungry.
Shit house. You probably had mad abs, though.
Oh, yeah. I was gone to
shredded. Yeah. Oh,
so, yeah, that's how it sort of
That is honestly wild. Like, you know, like, I hate to sort of throw a comparison in there, but it's a little bit like leaving the courthouse and going straight to jail, really. Like, it's, you know, was there an aspect where... Yeah, I was going to say, did you feel as though, was there sort of a feeling in your head where you were kind of like, holy shit, like, am I in jail right now? Like, this is pretty intense.
It wasn't so much like jail. I remember that like night though, when I got in, I was just like, when I first sat down in the hotel room, I was like, oh shit, I literally can't leave. Like at that, I didn't know I could go out to stretch my legs until this morning. So I like was sitting here and I was like, I was like, this is it for 14 days. I was like, I can't, like, I'm four walls. I was like, oh, shit. And then you sort of, like, there's a bit of novelty about it. Like, ooh, what's this going to be like? And then, and also I was jet lagged. So, like, I just spent the first few days sort of as a bit of a blur because you're just sort of, like, jet lagged and getting used to being stuck in a hotel room and figuring everything out and everything. But yesterday it definitely set in. I was like, oh shit, I think I've got a mate down in Sydney who's been in for 10 days, and I was like, I feel like you've been in forever, so like this is just gonna go on and on, but we've had a good day today. That's going
I mean, that's
yeah, it's like, a bit like a prison.
Yeah, I can imagine. Like, it's just, you know, just the thought. I think you're definitely right in the way that you kind of described it, in that there's probably a little bit of novelty about it. Like, you know, in a way, you're kind of like, how do you kind of explain? Like, in a way, you're kind of like, oh, like, you know, you're the center of everyone's discussion for a little while. And then after that, sort of, you're like, okay, the excitement's gone. Now I'm fucking stuck. And like, now it's kind of like, and I suppose because everyone's still kind of working and stuff. So it's like, you can't just be on your phone the whole day chatting to people. Like, there's going to be times where you're kind of like stuck, and it's, I could imagine that's, Do you, what have you kind of been doing to kill the time? Like, cause obviously, firstly, since you're on your phone, give us a tour of what we're working with here. Like, how much, if you explain it whilst you're actually, if you show us and explain it, like, with your voice while you're doing it, because that way people that are listening can sort of understand. But I've sort of seen a little bit, but it's fucking tiny.
Yeah, I'll give you the grand tour.
Okay, so, go for it.
This is the front door here. This is
so my, that's freedom. Neighbors. That's freedom right there.
That's freedom. That's where the police officers come. That's all my meals. We've got a good mirror here.
Looking good, mate.
To check that I look great before I go out for my escort walk. And then just have to mind, I completely forgot and did some washing today, Matson. So this is the bathroom. It's quite lovely.
Yeah, it's pretty bougie.
Marble. It's very bougie. We've got enough shampoo and conditioner from the hotel to last a lifetime. Here's hygiene, all my washing.
Key. Oh, excellent. In the fucking shower. How good.
Had to be a bit resourceful there. I'm going to take to it with the hairdryer later. They charge arm and a leg for washing, so I just sort of, mum dropped off some washing detergent.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, who the fuck cares? If you smell, who cares? Exactly. Who's going to see you?
No, exactly. This is my entrance paintwork. It's stunning. I'll show you my favourite piece in the room in a moment, Jackson. And then this is what I'd call the kitchen.
It's massive.
It's well stocked. It's huge. Sue, my mum did a visit, so that's good. We got an espresso though. Absolute
game changer. Now, did that come with the apartment, or did you get that delivered?
No, this is in the apartment, and they're like happy to drop off as many coffee pods as you like. So it's a bit of a treat. No milk proper, but that's okay.
Beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, exactly. We've got a little fridge. For some reason, I haven't felt like drinking juice, but I keep it every day. I think it's because I think I'm going to make mimosas. So I've got about 50 of these little bad boys. And then I've got some beers as well. And then here's just like your wine glasses and crap like that. And then we come into the main sort of living area. We've got a huge TV with Chromecast that keeps cutting out, which is just
amazing. That's even better.
So... yeah, it's perfect. Huge king size bed, which is just too large. They even include one of these like pillows you can spoon for the
The
people.
Old spoon. There's the single girl pillow.
Yeah, and then we've just got cupboards here, nothing too impressive. With an ironing board, two mats, just
with all your ironing you're going to do. Exactly. Yeah.
And now we come into the office here, where
huge,
I do
once
all
again.
Of my work. And in the office with my favourite piece of art here. And they do
excellent.
A massive dick on it.
Yeah. How good.
And then this
and
is my
that's
little
it.
Sitting area. And
to
then
be fair, the
it,
seating,
got,
yeah, the seating area actually looks quite nice. It's like on the
it's
window,
very beauty,
you get a nice view.
It?
Like, but there's only so many times you can sit there in 14 days and not want to fucking throw yourself out the glass. So,
yeah. And then we've got some tradies over here, and we've got a lovely view of the Story Bridge. The tradies, they were mimicking me when I was doing ground to overheads with this chair yesterday. And that was a real fucking highlight there. We keep
so you are you're still trying to work out and stuff.
Yeah. I think other than the Saturday. Oh, we've got a girl in her undies at the window. I'll turn you back so you can't.
Oh, see. How good! Oh, what?
mate, it's not a good sight. No.
Okay. I see what you mean now. All right. Yeah. Turn that camera around. That's really wild. Like it's actually crazy that, you know, that it is that small. Like it sounds really shit, but it's the size of almost like a large, I guess like Pablo Escobar, his prison cell definitely looked bougier than that.
Yeah, I would say so. It's not bad, but it is what it is.
I think that's the perfect way to describe it. So do you find that now that sort of you're stuck inside, like what's kind of been the most important thing for you in terms of like keeping sane? So like do you structure your day sort of in a certain way? Like do you sort of keep the same routine or do you sort of take it as it comes?
Yeah, no, I've sort of like after I got over the jet lag especially, I've sort of like made a bit of routine, which is good, and it's sort of nice, you can take your time. So like I usually just wake up, I don't really sleep in too well, so quite early, have a tea, have coffee, I don't watch the news because you'll spiral into a deep depression if you watch the news.
I could imagine, man.
And then I usually get up and I usually chat to my UK mates because they're still awake then. That's a morning ritual, and then do a workout. I think that's key. You've got to like try and burn some energy off.
Yeah, for sure.
And you've got plenty of time, so and it doesn't really matter what you do. You just got to do something, hey. So do a workout, adapted fit stop style, I would say.
Oh, good. Did you download the app?
No, I haven't. I haven't downloaded the app. I'm trying to. There's so much out there with everything that's
I know.
Going on.
It's hard to kind of motivate yourself to sort of download it. Sort of, Kira and I have been like dabbling with it, and I'm like, oh, like you know, I could just do this. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I've got a mate from uni. Yeah, you're right, Joel. I've got a mate from uni who is doing Pilates tonight. And she messaged me and she was like, I'll send you the link and you can just do the Pilates class and running with me and like just stuff like that as well. So there's plenty going on.
It's kind of good that like, you know, you got those like sort of group sort of house, like those group chat, like house party and sort of apps. Like, I guess that sort of thing, like I could only imagine if this sort of shit happened, like, you know, 10 years ago, like, fuck, what would you do? Like,
yeah,
you'd be stuck and.
Yeah. I can't imagine MSN would cut it. Hey.
Nah, not here. So with you, like, so obviously being like a healthcare worker, do you think once you finish this sort of quarantine, you'll sort of jump back in the front line sort of thing as quickly as you can? Or what are you going to be doing once you get out of this sort of situation?
Yeah, I'm hoping I can hop back into work pretty quick, just because I like working. And like I said, I'm not sort of worried about seeing those patients. And I think from what I've heard, the conditions are quite good over here for it. So I'll probably try and jump straight back into work wherever that is. and then just go from there, which will sort of suck a bit because I won't be able to see like family or stay with family and things, because I don't want to be going to work and then coming back and hanging out with my parents who are sort of closer to the 70 mark and everything. So yeah, I'll just get back into work and just, you know, try and save some cash, and then once it's looking like I can, we'll head back over to the UK if it's the time of year that suits that, or we'll go straight into travel if it's, if that situation can happen as well. So it'll just, it all just depends, because if it's going to happen in September, I'll probably travel for a couple of months, but if it's looking more like December, January, I'll have to really weigh that up, because London winter's pretty harsh, and I've done it once with the hope of summer travel.
I was gonna say you kind of got through the fucking like the shit part, and like as soon as it sort of got to like that, oh yes, it's like, and pandemic.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's been shit. You just gotta lie. How fucking funny is it? Move over in the middle of winter with the promise of Euro summer, and then like a mass health pandemic. Flow.
Yeah, like, I guess there's something.
You just couldn't fucking ride it.
Yeah, there's there's something. I guess it's like odd, because there's a little bit of peace of mind in the fact that, you know, you're thinking of it in your head. You could be like, oh, like why the fuck did this happen to me? But since it's happening to the entire world, you kind of, there's this weird feeling of like, I had this conversation with like my mate Darcy when I did a podcast with him, and we were saying there's no FOMO. Like, you know, you're trapped indoors for 14 days, but you're literally not missed. Like, I'm pretty much doing exactly what you're doing, besides the fact that I take Luna for a walk. Like, that's literally, so I guess in a way, like for you, it's kind of nice knowing that you can kind of relax knowing that, hey, like, you know, I'm not missing friends' birthdays. I'm not missing drinks. I'm not missing gym. I'm not missing, because everything's fucking shut. So in a way, as much as you kind of feel like, oh, fuck, like I'm trapped in here, you're not missing anything. Like there's literally nothing that you're missing. Like it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something kind
I'm really
of nice
liking
about
it.
That. Yeah,
in a way, I think it's excellent. Like, how much, like, I know I do it all the time. And I thought about this when I was quarantined, when I was sick and I was sort of feeling a bit better. Like, how much time do we spend sort of like doing things, and like you're always like looking and checking in, and you're like, oh, that person's doing that. Or if I was back in Australia, I could be doing that. Or in London, they're doing this. Whereas at the moment, you have no choice and you can just like sit back and just do nothing, and you have no worries that, you know, someone else is doing more or doing something different, or you're missing out or anything. It's like we all just having a good old reset and chilling out. And,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
not like you're missing out.
Yeah, it's like once you sort of get down to the sort of crux of it, and you're like, you know, it's terrible. Like if you really look at the grand scheme of things, and like you would obviously know with the story you just told, like it's really fucked. But for those people who are kind of doing the right thing and like, you know, staying indoors, doing all that sort of stuff, like there is something, like for me personally, because I know, like, obviously I was a little bit different last week with school being so hectic, but this week, like, I know I'm staying indoors a lot, so I know I'm not going to get the disease, or like, you know, touch wood, but if I'm doing the right things, I'm not going to get it. So there's something kind of reassuring about being like, hey, I'm inside, I'm safe. Like, you know, like I know my family's safe. It's kind of like comforting. I guess it's like sort of sitting in the middle of a tornado, like all this shit's going on around you, but you yourself are like kind of in a nice space now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is very comforting. And especially coming from like, I think London, like the spread is just, you know, on a different level to what it is here. And like, it's very like, very much a different situation, but it's so interesting like coming back here, having seen it all over here and then seeing what everyone's back here. I'm like, I was the biggest skeptic. Like I was seeing these patients at work, and then I was still going out on the weekend in London, and at that time, you know, I had lots of like PPE and like all of the precautions were being taken, like, and they still are, but I was still like, my holiday to Austria got cancelled. I had a massive Instagram rant. I was like, I'm so pissed off. Like these patients aren't as sick as what people say now. I was like, rah, 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 having like this huge rant. And then like, I had to eat my words massively, because it's just turned around and we're just, everyone's like, yeah, it's all going on around, but we're very lucky just to, you know, sort of be like safe, and especially Australia, to get sort of the forewarning from like the rest of the world and be able to put things in place, so hopefully it doesn't get to the point that it has in like London, and or there's so many other countries worse off, like New York and things. So
yeah, I heard New York's very like lucky. Fucked. Yeah, it's like apparently New York's like the epicenter. It's like of like, you know, in America, it's like everything. Like the only reason people are sort of getting in, even down to like people sort of moving away. So they're like, fuck, shit's hectic here. So they're moving away, and literally they're just all, they're all like, what's it called?
Just bringing
like
it.
They've got it, but they don't realize, and they're going off to fucking home and whatever. And then that's kind of where it's spreading from.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you find, because obviously like London is so, I mean, when you compare all those sort of European cities, like the population's so dense compared to Australia. Like if you sort of look out on the street here compared to sort of London, like do you sort of notice a really big difference in like, you know, people actually sort of spacing apart and stuff? Whereas, because I get a couple of mates from England, a couple of the boys that I work with, and they're saying like they've seen pictures of the tube and stuff like that, and sort of no one really gave a fuck like a week ago, like they were literally crammed in. You know, do you think like, do you think being in England or in London, do you think they sort of fucked up a little bit, like Boris fucked it hard? Like
yeah, it's London's really difficult situation to manage, because like there's so many people squashed into like such a small space, and so many people like dependent on the transport system and stuff. So they were trying to do things like only so many people into grocery stores, you know, cutting down tube availability, buses and things like that. But then you still have so many people having to go to essential work, whether that be hospitals, police, rah, rah, rah. So like they've cut the tube numbers down, but then there's still so many people who have to take it. So then there was so many people still, like colleagues of mine driving to work just to avoid like having to catch the train to and from it, because it was so busy like a couple of weeks ago. And then like there's so many more, like if I look out, I'm in the middle of Brisbane City and I can see probably like one person walking around the street, and there's cars, but it's nothing too hectic. Like where I was living, like there was, it was still sort of looks like a normal day, because a lot of people walk, there's a lot of people just in London in general. If you're wanting to go to a store, like yeah, people were like distancing in the queue outside, but there'd still be like a queue around the corner, or like bus lines were so long because they were only letting so many people in the bus, but then there was so many people lining up for each bus. So it was so different. Like this, it's, I think probably could have been managed better, but at the same time, it's really difficult to manage. And there's also no travel restrictions. So if I went back to London, it would be recommended perhaps that I don't go out, but there's no, like, it's not being policed or monitored like it is, because you can't, because there's so many people. So like they have no, like, nothing stopping the spread of people from people who come in, and then like just internal transmission wasn't stopped before it got to the point, you know, where it is now. So it's just all just being spread like wildfire, really. Like, and they do have, like, it's just escalated quickly, like a lot of people needing intensive care, and they've opened up.
Boris is in ICU. Like,
Bojo's in ICU.
That's fucked, eh?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's, it's kind of like everyone sort of jokes about it, and like, you know, I've been one to joke about it too. Like, you know, you kind of fucked it up. Now you're sick, but like, I'm like, that's really scary. Like, if there was a situation where like, you know, a leader, a world leader got like, you know, even like if there was a death of a world leader because of this, like that would be just next level. Like shit would just,
well, man. We were all laughing about it the other week. We were sort of saying, oh, imagine if, like, as shit as this is, like, imagine if Boris like actually got it, and imagine if he got unwell, and imagine if he got sick, and like as shit as, like, we were just, my housemate, no, like, as shit as he, like, we say he is, like, you wouldn't wish that upon anyone, hey? And then you know, he's ended up in ICU. So it's pretty, like, that really, like, that was one of the things. And then like a few more deaths of healthcare workers and a few things that have happened over here. And like even like Qatar Airways saying to me like, oh, you're lucky you're flying now. Like we just have no idea if they could, like they could just turn around and stop flights tomorrow. There's literally no one else. So it's like all of those things. I'm like, oh man, I'm so like happy I came home. Like I was like full blown devastated to be leaving because I was having the sickest time. But like you were saying, like it's better to come back, be near family and like know that my health is a little bit more like protected over here than stay. Like I can't, if something was to happen like or anything like that, I can't really go back and do my hot girl Euro summer, can I?
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's all like pretty intense, but like you just stay in your little bubble, stay away from the news and everything's okay. But yeah, I'll definitely go back to work.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing too. Like, I do believe it's definitely, you know, it's hard. You got to take it with a grain of salt. Like, I guess you got to pick and choose the news you listen to because there's obviously some news where you're like, I need to hear this. This is like an announcement from the fucking prime minister. But then there's like something else of like, you know, some fucking nobody who doesn't really understand much gets on and starts talking about shit. And like that sort of then creates a bit of hysteria around it as well, which obviously there's lots of hysteria around it, but it's kind of rightly so that there is, you know what I mean? So
yeah. No, there's definitely like, yeah, oh, sorry, Matt, you were saying, oh, there's definite fear mongering. Like you could tell in the news, like I switched it on just to like, I had so many messages being like Mads Bojo got it. Oh shit. So like I switched it on and there's like, yeah, like, okay, like Boris Johnson's intensive care, this is the numbers, rah, rah, rah. But then there's like the news presenters and they're just like edging at people's heels. Hey, like you don't need to sit there and be like, oh, but what point do you think it'll get to and how do we know and rah, rah, rah. And I'm like, no one needs to hear this. Just spit the facts out and like leave exactly. it there. Like,
because it's been good. Sorry. I was going to say, like, I truly believe, of course, the news are doing this for the right reasons, but there is a huge aspect of news seeing this as like, hey, this is the thing that's going to get people back watching like media. Like, this is the thing that's going to make Channel 9 news big again and everyone's going to get off like Facebook news and stuff like that. Like, I do think there's a part of it that is like necessary news and then I know there's stuff that's like clickbait news. Like, I saw a thing on Facebook the other day and I think it was a Curia Mal post and it's like, it said something around like these are the signs you need to look out for Corona. And it's like, no, we know the symptoms. Like they're obviously posted on like doctors, surgeries, everything. But then it's like, yeah, like have you got any of these? And it's like a clickbait. And you're like, are you seriously getting clicks out of like this? Like, and I'm not talking about like, you know, like for example, you know, I posted a video and I titled it like, you know, like, why am I voting or some shit like that. And there was another one that was like coronavirus scare or some shit like that. But it's like, you know, I'm posting shit that's kind of for entertainment. But like when news companies do it, you're kind of like, what the fuck, dude? Like, do you really want like, you're kind of cashing in on this shitty event? Like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think one thing that's been really good is, I don't know if you noticed this, Matt, some YouTube has been like censoring. So like all of the YouTubers who are doing their like day in isolation vlogs, they like have censored it. So like if you say the word like corona or coronavirus or COVID-19 or anything like that, they'll like shut your video down, which I think has been really good, like to stop the spread of like fake news and like people like spreading things. So as much as like I hate that I pull up YouTube at the moment, it's like 15 Gold Coast chicks being like, this is a day in isolation, I'm like, at least like it's not coronavirus this, coronavirus
yeah, that.
Like
exactly.
They can't say the words or anything like that, so that's been good. But like mainstream media is just like fucking running with it big time.
Big question here. Massive question. How tempted are you to get a TikTok?
Oh, I have TikTok, but I'm not going to make it. So So when you were asking about my daily routine, no TikTok before like 7 p.m. at night.
Good call.
And that's the only time I allow myself to fall down the TikTok trap, but I won't make a TikTok. I'm too old. No. It's just a slippery slope.
I
sort of want to do the dance, like I want to learn the dances, but I'm trying not to. So I'm trying to like keep myself like away from it.
You just put that in the cupboard just in case a rainy day comes around and you got literally, you know, we'll see how you feel by day 12.
Yeah, I know. I think that might be like a day 11 or 12, like mental breakdown, or make a TikTok and we'll just make a TikTok.
Oh man, dude. But, yeah it's fucking, it's wild, mate. It's fucking wild. I'm honestly just glad you're home, to be completely honest. I think there was times where there was a couple of people that were overseas, and Kira and I were just like, fuck, I hope they come home. Like, it's like you said, it's one of those things where it's like, it's shit and it sucks, and like, you know, you kind of sacrifice like that European summer, but I personally think you'd probably made the better decision. I think.
Yeah. It's tough, and it's, but like coming back, it's just been so nice as well, because like to see this like weird fucking wild time, like just everyone's like, Mads, I'll bring you a coffee, I'll bring you food.
Yeah, so Kia gave you a little delivery the other day.
He gave me a delivery. She included some of those vegan meals, which are just
Oh, you did, and they're fucking good, eh?
Yeah. And
shout out
like
Gardener Vegan.
Stuff like that. Yeah, Gardener Vegan hooking me up. But it's fucking so weird. But what a story to tell, like the grandchildren. Like, yeah. Oh yeah. When I was 24, I fucking moved over to the other side of the world and then had to come home and be put in a hotel for 2 weeks by the government just in case I had this virus in the midst of a pandemic. Like,
yeah, well, no, that's kind of what sparked me wanting to do the podcast with you, because I actually had, well, I don't think I had people ask me directly, but people like it comes up all the time. Like, it's like, oh, I wonder what actually is it like being in that, like, you know, quarantine sort of area. Like, I wonder what that's sort of like. And like to hear it from you and to hear it firsthand. And I think you're like you're the double-edged sword, because it's like you're in quarantine and you're a healthcare worker who literally saw all the shit go down. So like, you know, hearing your perspective of it is actually really fucking, it's like not scary, but it's like, it's nice to hear it from someone who actually has seen it. And it's not any of this like shit where it's like, oh, I heard or I saw, or apparently it's like, no, this is what it's like. Like, it's proper like this. So I think that's going to be really valuable when people sort of watch this.
It's been so interesting just to see that, yeah, the different perspective of like, there's a nurse down the corridor who I have on WhatsApp, and like we've chatted about it and like her perspective, and then like versus the perspective of people who like had their holidays ruined by coronavirus or like just were traveling and stuff and just haven't had that like insight. Like it's all, yeah, very much dependent on the situation you're in. It's wild, wild times.
Yeah, man. Well, mate, I think we've done like 45, 47. Damn, Mads.
Oh,
that's a good one. That's a good one.
Thick boy.
That is a thick boy. No, that's good. I really appreciate doing this. Not to say that you've really got anything better to do right now, but
I probably should apply for some jobs, but we've got all the time in the world.
There you go. You still got 10 days left, mate. You got all the time in the world. You can procrastinate. The worst thing is I'm still procrastinating and I have nothing else to do. So that's a real shit thing on my part. Thanks so much, man. Thank you so much. Do you want to, you could probably plug your Instagram, because I know you're fucking posting some funny shit on there. So if you want people to follow you, what's your Instagram?
Or if you want to keep up to date with ISO life in the zoo, just at Mads Jeffries.
I'll leave your Instagram handle in the comment, in the fucking description below. But
plug, 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 plug.
Plug, plug, plug. No, it's so awesome to have you back. I'm glad you're safe, and I'm very keen to, well, I guess almost catch up with you when you finish the ISO and but I'm sure Kieran and I'll probably give you a house party later on anyway, and we can talk some mad shit.
Yeah, we'll have a few Quarro beers.
Yeah, I'm down for some Quarantinis. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. No,
awesome, dude.
Good, Matt. Look forward to
Thank you so right. much. Guys, it is the Inner City Hermit podcast. If you're enjoying the content, go to YouTube, give it a sub, go on to everything else. You know the shit. I don't need to talk about it anymore. Thank you so much, Maddie. Appreciate everything.
You're welcome, Matt. See you later, mate.
Stay safe. Stay on there because I'll keep talking to you. I just want to end this.